So last night, or early this morning, was one of those mornings where I woke up at 4 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep. And when that happens to me, I usually just think about what I'm going to be preaching on the next day, and sleep slowly comes back. You might try it. Maybe listen to last week's homily. But today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. And because of a misunderstanding about that kingship, King Herod was sleepless around this time too. Because remember, King Herod saw the star in the sky, and he knew the prophecy that a king would be coming. Now he had reason to be concerned. In the ancient world, when a new king came, and he overpowered the old king, there was utter destruction. The family was killed or sold into slavery, the cities were plundered, and an entire new regime was built upon the rubble of the old one. So for King Herod, the idea of a new king coming would give him some sleepless nights. But that's not the kind of king that Christ is, and his coming was not in that manner. So we ask ourselves, why does the church put the Feast of Christ the King one Sunday before Advent? It's because we have to understand the kingship of Christ and what it is uniquely before we can begin to prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas, which is what Advent is all about. Advent simply means to come. It's the coming of Christ. And we celebrate it as a new coming within our hearts each and every year. And what does that coming look like? Well, in the book of Revelation, which is what we're reading in daily Mass in the lead-up to Advent, and what each of the priests had to read today in the office of readings that we're required to read each and every day, we read about Jesus saying, "Behold, I come to the door and knock. If anyone opens the door and lets me in, I will dine with him and he with me." It's very simple. And that gentle knock is on the door of our heart. And we have a choice, because we don't have a king who uses his power to overcome our free will. We don't have a king who's going to break down the door and force us to serve him while he eats. No, he's giving a gentle knock at the door, and we can choose either to open the door this Advent and let him in, or we can close it off to him. But if we open the door, we'll be allowing him to reign in our hearts. Ultimately, Christ was not interested in ruling the world as an earthly king. He even said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." He's interested in ruling in each of our hearts. And when we let him come in and reign in our hearts, we have that lasting joy that comes with having the living God dining with us. Doesn't mean that we won't have difficulties in life, or that there won't be suffering, but it's a love that can't be taken from us. So that when we do have suffering, when there is bad news, when we lose a loved one, or a job, or we feel rejected, we have someone there who experienced all of that himself, and someone who will never abandon us, who will never leave unless we throw him out, who's ready to help us bear the burden and point our direction, point our gaze to eternal life, so that these tragedies in our lives, no matter how overwhelming they seem, have a comfort that is the sure hope of Christ conquering death and sin. It certainly is more reliable for happiness than the other things we so often turn to, temporary pleasures, material possessions, elected officials. Any of these are ultimately going to disappoint us in some way or another. None of them will bring us that lasting peace and joy that happens when we let Christ be the king of our hearts. So how do we prepare to let him in? It's not a secret formula. It's pretty simple. How would we prepare to let any guest into our house? If we had royalty coming, say Prince William and Kate Middleton, How would we get ready? Well, we first want to know something about the guest. We don't want to be completely ignorant of the person that we're with. I remember one time in the airport, I found out there was a very famous singer from the 1960s who was going to be on the flight. And having been born at least 20 years after he was famous, I knew nothing about him. But I didn't care until I realized we were sitting next to each other. So while I could still have my phone on, I did a little bit of research. It turned out to be, now I can't remember the name, it was the guy that did Raindrops Are Falling on My Head. And so I read about him, I read about the songs that he wrote, and when I looked over at him, I told him what a fan of his music I'd always been. Well, it turned out I was, because I always liked that song, I just had no idea he wrote it. But know something about the guest, that way you don't have these awkward situations. You'd also want to clean your house. Get the house all cleaned, and we do that, obviously, by repenting. We clean the heart by going to confession. Going to confession during Advent is a huge thing because it prepares our heart to accept the King of Kings. We decorate it. We do that with grace, by receiving communion, by participating in prayer, by reading the Word of God. We end up putting up the decorations to welcome the King. And then when he does knock, we're ready to make him welcome. All of these things are simple things that we would do for any guest. But for the heart, it takes a little time because we have to really mold ourselves into that person that's ready to accept Christ as King. So if we can do these things in the coming days, we'll have a King that will never leave us. And one that acts more as a brother than a king. One who will give us that lasting joy no matter what happens in our lives. Because if we have Christ ruling in our hearts, we don't have to worry about restless nights. We'll be sleeping in heavenly peace.